From Hook and Bullet to Policy and Science, we're here to discuss and dissect all matters of importance to Montana's rugged landscape and the people and wildlife that call it home. This is Montana Untamed. Moose hunting in southeastern Montana? That may sound like the punchline for an offbeat joke, but Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is offering its first moose hunting permit for Region 7 this spring. The lone tag is being offered as the population of the largest member of the deer family has steadily grown in the region. This seems at odds with what's happening with the long-legged creatures in what is considered their native habitat, where populations have declined. To learn more about this story, Brett French, outdoor editor at the Billings Gazette newspaper, is here to talk about the story he recently wrote. Brett, welcome. Let's start with the obvious question. Why are there more moose in southeastern Montana, and where do they seem to be coming from?
Hey, Tom. So the population seems to be migrating in mainly from western North Dakota, that Williston region, which most people know as a fracking area. It's been really booming with the oil fracking boom. So there's a lot of development in that area. It's right along the Montana border. The Missouri River goes into Lake Sakakawea right near there. And that's where the majority of them seem to be coming from. But southeastern Montana, as you know, Region 7, that's a big area. And apparently now they're populating all of the hunting districts in that region. I even got an email today from somebody showing me a photo from somebody had taken of a cow moose near Baker, which, again, not an area you would think of as moose country. But apparently they're also coming in from possibly that Bighorn Mountains in Wyoming and moving down the Powder River into that southern southeastern Montana region. And there's also been an increase, in the population in southwestern Saskatchewan and southeastern Alberta that may be migrating that far too.
So, I mean, I guess, you know, I'm no biologist, but eastern Montana isn't necessarily what I think of as moose habitat. What's the attraction there? And I guess, is the idea that they're heading there, are they coming to southeastern Montana because of what southeastern Montana has to offer, or are they leaving somewhere and just landing there?
They're following the drainages, so obviously in that neck of the woods, the Yellowstone River is the biggest one. You know, moose really concentrate on those willows, one of their main forage, and they like thick, you know, brushy habitat. So you've got plenty of that along the Yellowstone River. In fact, one of the comments in the FWP emails about whether or not they should open a tag was that the archery hunter had seen five of them this between Glendive and Sydney. And I had spoken to a guy who had lived in the area a little more than a decade ago. And in 50 years, he hadn't seen one. So it's really interesting how quickly that has increased. So yeah, it's habitat based, and it wasn't that long ago that it was really an odd thing to see a moose in that neck of the woods, but now becoming a lot more common.
And is this a, I guess in the timeline, were moose historically in this area, or is this a new thing? Like, have they inhabited it? Were they inhabiting this part of the world, you know, years and years ago? Are they coming back, or is this kind of a new frontier for a moose population?
Yeah, it's not something we've really seen in any literature before. Reading the Lewis and Clark Journal, stuff like that, there's not mention of moose out in that country. And it was interesting, FWP did a study a while back about moose genetics and found out that it seems like most of the moose that inhabit North America moved south after the last ice age. So there wasn't any moose down in the, you know, Montana area prior to that last glacial maximum is what they call it. And that was about 15,000 years ago or so. So all the moose that are present in North America now have come just in that last time span and apparently spread out fairly well across mostly, you know, Canada, Maine, those cooler, wetter areas to the north that seem more to their liking, although there is a population, the southernmost population is in Colorado.
So your recent story points out that moose hunting has been offered in Region 6, which is just to the north of Region 7, and that's been since 2008. What has the FWP data shown about the hunt up in that area?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. Kind of flies under the radar because, again, it's not an area where we think of moose hunting. You know, being born and bred Montana, and moose were always mountain creatures. You know, you saw them up in the hills, maybe down, you know, along the valley floors and stuff, but they were always really close to the mountains. And in 2008, they initiated a season out in Region 6 in northeastern Montana with just two tags and got 96 applicants. And now they're up to 9 tags and they get 1,600 applicants. So it's like one of the third highest, I think, in the state for the number of applicants for those moose tags. And one of the reasons probably why is that they have like 100% success rate, and it's been almost all bulls taken in that area. So it's obviously not controlling the population any. And it's kind of surprising because you think of that area, the Missouri River is the main area there, the Milk River a little bit. And again, it's all surrounded by private land. So not the easiest place to get access to, but they're finding success, which is great.
Mm-hmm. And so what is, I guess, I don't know if it was clear in the intro or not, but is it, it's one tag for Region 7. Is that correct?
Correct. One tag for this year. So and you can be the first one.
So is it region-wide, or are there certain districts inside the region that the tag is good for?
I believe it's region-wide.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and FWP has been conducting long-term moose study in, you know, the western third of the state, you know, this mountainous country that we you know, think of as moose habitat, trying to understand why populations have been declining. What are some of those things that biologists have learned?
Yeah, one of the limiting factors seems to be calf survival, which makes sense. Fewer calves you have, the fewer moose you have. So even though mother moose are notoriously protective of their young, there still seems to be predation as one of the main factors limiting their population growth. There's also some winter ticks have been sighted. These infestations of ticks that can just basically suck moose dry. And that's been a really big deal in other areas of the North America, like Maine and Michigan, you hear about that, but also in Montana. And then here in Montana, too, there's a problem with brain worm, arterial worms, not brain worms. Arterial worms that get in there and attack the heart and kill moose. The brain worm is more of a Midwestern issue. And one theory of why the moose are doing so well in that Williston area is maybe that this brain worm is not able to survive in that drier, warmer habitat in Williston. So they're not contracting it.
You know, in all your reporting on moose across the state, has anybody commented on kind of this paradox happening that moose numbers are declining in typical, you know, stereotypical moose habitat while we're seeing, you know, a population increase in, you know, non-typical moose habitat?
I think it comes down to habitat, like a lot of these issues, and I think there's some great habitat in those river bottoms in western Montana, and moose, although oftentimes are pretty territorial, they'll not wander much more than, I think it was like 10 kilometers or something. They'd set up a home area. But the study in Montana has also shown these cow moose taking 500-mile round-trip walks in mountainous terrain. So the idea that they would walk out to eastern Montana from even western Montana is not beyond the pale. You know, it's very possible. But one of the things that was kind of interesting, too, in this genetic study is they were thinking, well, you know, we tend to think if that's a bigger moose, then maybe it's a different subspecies. So the subspecies in Montana is Shiras, and that's the one we typically see along the Rocky Mountains. And you get up into Canada, of course, and that's the really big guys you see up in the Yukon and stuff that have grow those massive horns. And then in the mm-hmm. Midwest, it's a different subspecies believed to be Andersoni, is what they call it. And that's the ones that were coming west into western North Dakota. And so they were thinking, well, maybe those are a little bigger looking moose. But in this genetic study they did of all these different species, they're very common. So there's very little genetic difference between them. And the theory is that we're just assigning these genetic differences to them based on their size. And that's probably more related to what they're eating than that they're been genetically distinct by being separated.
So wait, you just said something that I just wanted to make clarification on. Are the moose that are winding up in western North Dakota, which are the ones that are winding up in eastern Montana, is their source population the upper Midwest herds?
Yeah, it would be from the eastern side of North Dakota, so closer to Minnesota. They call that the Andersoni subspecies, which apparently are a little bigger than the Shiras.
Huh. Okay. So those two subspecies are kind of meeting in Montana then?
Well, unless, according to the genetic study, they're not really different subspecies, and they're all very similar. So, yeah. There's a possibility that those two are mixing, or that they're pretty much the same thing. There's another study they haven't published the results on that was looking just at the genetics in Montana. So that'll be kind of interesting to see. I think they took over 600 samples from hunter-killed moose across the state to look at genetics. So it'll be interesting to see what that says.
Yeah, of course, that depends on the you know, constant taxonomical debate over lumping and splitting now that we've got this genetic technology.
Exactly.
But moose aren't the only wildlife species that have moved east in relation to Montana. What other species are FWP officials seeing more of in that neck of the woods?
Yeah, I think that's kind of interesting too, because, you know, moose maybe are just the most recent ones that we're thinking of as being kind of these outliers for occupying this habitat. It wasn't that long ago, even when I was a young hunter, that it was really unusual to see elk in the Lewistown area, you know, and now it has one of the largest herds in the state. And the same thing, you know, those elk have pushed farther east into southeastern Montana. So people that, you know, have lived there all their lives are now seeing elk where they never saw them before. Cougar studies have shown that they wander across there. Years ago, the Charles Russell National Wildlife Refuge was doing a study on cougar populations there. And I remember they had one collared that crossed the Missouri River, crossed the Yellowstone River, trekked all the way into North Dakota. And so those animals are moving through that terrain. And we've seen a lot more bear reports out in that area, and bear hunting has subsequently become more common in Region 7. So, yeah, that habitat is there, so it speaks really highly of the care that the landowners out there take for the habitat that the populations are growing in. But on the flip side, you know, we're seeing now these big declines in mule deer. Everybody's really concerned about the mule deer populations in that area. And the pronghorns took a really big hit recently, too. So it's interesting to see these ebbs and flows of populations like that.
Right, right. Yeah, I'll be curious to see what the how many applicants they get for that Region 7 moose tag.
Yeah, you'd think with it being kind of historical and unique, you know, to be that first one to draw that permit, it might be pretty high.
Montana Untamed is a podcast from the newsrooms of Lee Enterprises Montana Newspapers. Visit any of our websites or subscribe wherever podcasts are found.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.